rest upon Jesus. Thank you. Our dear Heavenly Father, oh, with a heart full of joy, oh Lord, we lift up, oh Lord, your name this evening. Amen. We say thank you, Lord Jesus, for the week so far, Lord. Father, we thank you for all that you have done for your children, Lord, during the days that they have been to their working places and back. In their homes, Lord, you that directs the footsteps of the righteous, Father, you have kept us safe, Lord. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. And Father, even, Lord, this evening, oh Lord, where can we turn our eyes? We still turn our eyes, Lord, unto you, God. Because on Fridays like this, Lord, you have an appointment with us. You want us to come and sit at your feet and come and pour all our needs and our heart desires before you. Lord, we thank you for this grace, Lord. Genuine mercies that, Lord, you have accorded us all from far and near. Oh, Lord, we say thank you, Lord. And Father, even as we have come, oh God, oh, we've come with that reverence, Lord, a broken spirit and a contrite heart. That's our sacrifice, Lord, this evening. And Father, we know that you will not despise, Lord. Father, even as we have come, O God, Lord, we want a word of inspiration, a quickening power, or a word that, Lord, will give us utterances, a word that will lead us into prayer, O God. So, Father, we want to commit your servant, Lord, our pastor, Lord, into your hands. Oh, this moment as he's still waiting on you, Lord. Father, you know individually our hearts and even our weaknesses, Lord. Father, let us, oh Lord, be lifted up by your word tonight. Oh, to reach that place where, oh God, we will be lost, Lord, together with you, shutting with you, Lord. That every utterance, every word, every request that, Lord, we will put before you tonight, oh, Lord, it will meet your grace and mercy. Oh, Lord Jesus, yes. Father, your children, we are in need, oh, God. Please, please, Lord, tonight, oh, Lord Jesus, let us live here with our hearts full of that satisfaction that, Lord, you have really heard our prayers, Lord. So, Father, now we want to sing. We want to create that atmosphere. Oh, for all these things, Lord, to have them its own way, oh God. So, Lord Jesus, we commit our song leader, Lord, into your hands and the musicians, oh God, as Father, they lead us, oh Lord, in songs of Zion, oh God. Oh, Lord, let your ears come down, oh Lord, and accept our sacrifice of worship and praises, Lord. Once again, Lord, we want to say thank you. We bless you and give all glory to you. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray with all thanksgiving. Amen.
And let's have a song near the cross, please. Amen.
Jesus, keep me I'm
God bless you, saints. Good evening to everybody. Welcome to the prayer meeting. It's good to come and seek the Lord. It's good to come apart for a season, to set our souls towards Him, to bring our petitions before Him. There's no better place that we can go. We want to come, we want to let off the pressure. And there's one place. It says, the name of the Lord is a mighty tower. The righteous run therein and are safe. So that's what we're desiring, is His presence and His name. So God bless you. Let's open James chapter 5, verse 16. Very, very familiar scripture, James 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we're praying for one another. And this is the effectual, this is the kind of prayer, the effectual fervent prayer. Why don't you just speak about fervency? What does it mean, fervency? How can we be fervent in prayer? Because that is one of the conditions that James is telling us that the Lord hears prayer. It's an effectual prayer. It's effectual when it's fervent. And that's how we should be praying for one another. So let's just pray and ask, Lord, bless your word to us this night. You know, our desire, Lord, is to come unto you and pray. Father, we just want to come into your presence. We just want to come unto your feet. We just want to, Lord, forget about ourselves. We want to break through the veil upon this day. Father, we want to rise up by your grace into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Father, we want to commune with you. Father, we want to come into that dimension where all things are under control. Father, that place of faith, that place, Lord, Father, that once you've been there, that's the place that you desire to live. So you help us this day and grant grace to each and every one of us. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's be seated, saints. We want to just speak about fervency a little bit. The word to be fervent, when it speaks of the effectual fervent prayer, fervency means to have a passionate intensity. So fervency means, the opposite of fervency is to be apathetic. You know, it's to be listless, it's to be lifeless. And none of us desire to pray in that kind of a way. We know because of all the Lord is and all the things which the Lord has done. There's nothing that Jesus did that was lifeless. Everything he did, he poured his whole heart into it. No matter what he had to go through, but Jesus, he was fervent in all that he did. So, and fervency in itself is the natural result of sensing the presence of God. Whenever you sense the presence of God is near, the genuine reaction should be fervency. Like Bartimaeus, I was reading today, blind Bartimaeus, when he was sitting there by the roadside begging and he had heard from his mom when he was young all of the promises of the scripture, and he had heard about Joshua and he had heard about all the things the Lord had done. And then he heard about Jesus. Somebody testified, maybe he heard that Jesus had opened the eyes of the blind. And there was an expectation. And then when Jesus passed him by, something inside of the soul of Bartimaeus sensed that presence. And when he sensed the presence, there was something rose up inside of him because he realized the potential of the moment. Amen. Now, the difference with fanaticism is that you work yourself up into something. But fervency is the natural, it should be the reaction which naturally we react to when we sense the presence of God. Amen. Yeah, it's a wonderful thing when you come and you sense the Lord is near. And you start sensing the possibility of what could take place. And something inside of your soul so much wants to seek him. But the reason we need fervency, it's like a requirement in prayer because there's so much to hold us back from praying the way that you really need to pray. There's so much there to hold us back from breaking through into the presence of God. Now, it's so easy to come to a prayer meeting. It's so easy to come to church, and things just stay as a potential. You say, well, that was good, but you really feel inside of yourself that you never really achieved the purpose the Lord wanted you to achieve, because something drew near to you. His presence was there, but you didn't press enough. You didn't break through the veil and take an advantage of that situation. And when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was passing by, he cried out with a fervency. Now, thou son of David, and the people tried to still him, said, be quiet, you're disturbing us. But the more they tried to make him quiet, he knew inside of himself, if this opportunity passes me by, when is the next time I'm going to have an opportunity like this? You know, and something inside of his soul told him he needed to use that opportunity. So he pressed his way, and then, you know, he took his garment and he threw it aside. You know, he didn't want anything to hinder him, nothing to stop him, because his fervency caused something really wonderful. Amen. Jesus stood still. Yeah, I really love that. How many times the prophet says that? He says, you tonight can make Jesus stand still. Now, your fervency, your genuine earnest plea, your cry, your desire, your need, if you look to the Lord, you can make Jesus stand still. And he says, Jesus, with the weight of the world upon himself, imagine all the burden that he had, and he's on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified. But just that earnestness of that prayer, where when Bartimaeus cried out, thou son of David, have mercy upon me, it says Jesus stood still. And not only did he stand still, but he commanded the people to bring Bartimaeus to him. And then he says, what is it that you desire? And he said, Master, that I might receive my sight. And he said, your faith has made you whole. And he received his sight. And it didn't stop there. It says, and then he followed Jesus in the way. You know, that was from that time. So a fervent and earnest prayer has the potential of being a from that time kind of a prayer. And we need those on a regular basis. We need that kind of prayer that it just does something. It opens a new chapter in the book. It raises you up into another dimension. When you went check on Sunday, we were speaking about whenever the Lord visits, he wants to set a new normal inside of your life. Now, when he takes you from where you were and he meets you where you are, yeah, and he does something for you, he sets you on a certain course, but he wants you to keep that as a new normal now. So Bartimaeus, when he met the Lord, that became a new normal. Before, he never walked with the Lord, but by sensing that opportunity that day, when the presence of the Lord drew near to him and something was stirring him up inside of himself, you know, that's what fervency is, and that's what we desire in our prayer tonight. Fervent prayer is spirit-quickened prayer. Now, because fervency, it's got to come from God. This word, when it speaks of effectual fervent prayer, that word is where we get our English word energetic. Now, it's the Greek word energeo. So it means it's an energetic type of prayer, but it speaks of supernatural energy. Amen. It's not you and I in our own energy. We don't have any energy we can make the Lord stand still. But when we come into the presence of the Lord and he comes and he starts quickening our souls and divine energy, his spirit, his anointing is starting to draw near to us. That's the kind of prayer now. He energizes our prayer. Now we can start praying a fervent kind of a prayer. And Bartimaeus must have felt that. Though he was blind, his physical eyes, but he could sense somebody passing him by. Amen. Inside of his soul, he could sense something's taking place. Yeah, we went with Brother George, went to Jerusalem, and Brother George Martin had told us of that place down in the Temple Mount tunnels, right down, you go below the Western Wall, and you get down to the original place where Jesus and the apostles walked, you know, down below the city of Jerusalem, and you get to the place which is the closest place to the Holy of Holies for the Jews. They say that just the other side of that wall is where all of the temple treasures are hidden, the Ark of the Covenant and all those kind of things. And the Jews say this is such a sacred place. And when Brother George Martin would take the people on tours, he'd get people to pray there. So Brother George told me that. He said, Brother, when you go down in these tunnels, there's a place it's a seriously anointed place. The prophet says the anointing is still upon that place, that anointing where he placed his name. So we had this Jewish guide and a whole lot of us going down through the temple tunnels underground. It was really interesting. And then I said to Brother George, we're getting near to that place. And he said, how do you know? I said, I can feel it in my soul. There was such an anointing. And the closer we got to that place, there was more and more of a quickening power. And then the Jewish guide, he was quite an evangelistic rabbi of a guy. He said, if anybody wants to pray, you can pray. And everybody prayed. And like I've said to you before, we'd still be praying there now if it wasn't that he pulled us away from that place, because you came into the presence of God. But you could sense the place in your soul that wasn't with your physical eyes. And I believe that's what happened to Bartimaeus. He sensed something building up inside of himself. All that he had heard of from his mother, all of the seed that had been sown in him, hearing about the great angel of the Lord who met the captain of the host, who met Joshua, and hearing about Elisha and Elijah and the great exploits that were done around Jericho, all of that seed that had been sown now started to get watered. And the presence of God, a divine energy, started now to quicken him inside of himself. And he started to feel something which had never felt before. He started to sense the possibility. He started to get a substance faith. He knew, today is my day. Things are going to change now. But there was much between him and the answer to his prayer. Because there were people, there was a crowd pressing into Jesus. Jesus was passing him by. There were people trying to keep him still. People trying to say, who are you to disturb the master? But when that something is inside of the heart of a believer, friends, when you get hungry for the presence of the Lord, like a little thing we sent out that Brother Josh was preaching in Czech, when he says that there's nothing can stop the presence of God from a hungry soul. When a soul gets hungry for the presence of God, you know, it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter what you're going through, God is going to bring his presence to you. It's just the nature of God. If you are not in a lukewarm condition, because that's the opposite of fervency. But if inside of your soul tonight you are hungering and thirsting for divine reality once again, that's the deep calling to the deep. Now that is God's divine energy, the anointing of the Holy Ghost is starting to quicken you inside of the veil, because God wants to quicken you to pray with fervency. Because that's the kind of prayer that breaks through. That's the kind of prayer that stops him. And you can sense that kind of a prayer when you pray that kind of a prayer. That says this word, which is fervent, refers to that which has power. Power which in its own nature produces the effect. So if God wants to answer our prayers tonight, and he does, what does he do? He quickens us. He brings a fervency of you. He brings his anointing. He brings his spirit to come and commune with us. And that brings a result inside of us that we come back to him with a fervency. And when you're praying like that, you can sense, this isn't just me praying. There's something beyond mortality here praying. Because your prayer is now quickened. You now have a reality. You now start having a substance. You now start believing that you're going to get what you prayed for. That moves beyond a hope, because there's a supernatural something starts to move in. And that's what we need to prevail with God. Because it's only God who can prevail with God. So when Jacob prevailed with God, it wasn't just Jacob in that prayer. Jacob came into a presence, and that presence gave him a prevailing power. God says, you need to prevail with me. But how can a man prevail with God? God is going to have to anoint and quicken a person to prevail with him. When Moses fell in the presence of God and gave God a better idea and said, Lord, no, don't destroy the people. What will the heathen say? The prophet says, I never understood how Moses could give God a better idea until in the revelation of the word, I realized it was Christ in Moses. God had to quicken Moses to say, you better come and speak to me about these people, else I'm going to destroy them. And now he was quickened inside of himself. And Moses had a boldness that he never had before. Even Abraham, when he stood there and Elohim came down veiled in flesh and ate with Abraham and told him the things that he was about to do. In the presence of God, there came a quickening inside of Abraham. And he was able to intercede with the Lord. Now he was able to wrestle with God for Lot and for the people down there, the righteous people down there in Sodom. And that's what we're needing this evening. It's not going to be your prayer that does anything. When Jesus said, have faith in God, you know, the prophet tells us, that means have the faith of God. You know, your faith is never going to do anything. My faith isn't going to do anything. We need to have the faith of God. We need God to quicken and inspire. Then we have the faith of God. And if we want to pray properly, we need the prayer of God. We need the Holy Ghost to come and quicken us in prayer. Paul says we don't even know how to pray as we ought. How do we know how to pray? How can we say words to the Almighty that's going to prevail with him? The only way we're going to say the right thing to him tonight, he's going to have to quicken us to say those things. We're going to have to yield ourselves to him. And when you start sensing his presence and you start sensing his quickening power, that is an earnest, that is God's down payment. He's already telling you, I want to answer this prayer. That's why I'm quickening you to pray this prayer. I wouldn't quicken you to pray something that I'm not going to give you. So you really know, when you start praying outside of the will of God, there's no quickening power. But when you start yielding and get into his presence and you start praying according to his will, that kind of prayer, you know there's something different about this kind of prayer. This word, when it speaks of this fervent prayer, it means it's only used of superhuman power. Yeah. So an effectual prayer, it's going to have to be a superhuman prayer. If it's just you and I as human beings, there's not much we're going to be able to pray tonight. But if we can yield unto him and approach him the right kind of a way, the prophet says if we can come on his terms, if we can take off our shoes and humble ourselves before him and offer him our vessels and say, Lord, here am I. You know what it is that needs to be prayed for, Lord. Lord, I'm giving you my vessel tonight. The way that Peter gave you his vessel that day. Use my vessel, O Lord. He's going to quicken you to pray things that you didn't even think you were going to pray for. Things that weren't even in your mind. Things that weren't even in your heart, but they were in his heart. And he's looking for people to come and pray to him so that you can prevail with him on behalf of other people. The prophet, a new ministry, when he speaks of Sister Hattie Wright saying the right thing. At the end of that message, he says, let's pray for these people that are sick. He says, how do you not know that you might be the one who says the right thing? That God may quicken you and you say the right thing and it breaks through into that realm and you sense it when you pray that kind of prayer. This is divinely energized prayer. This is a kind of prayer that you pray when the Bible says, call upon him while he's near. You know, when he's near and you know that he's near and you have an access. The prophet says that Job, he used that access on behalf of his children. Now, when the door was open, spiritually speaking, Job in his soul, he knew, he's given me an audience once again. You know, I've come boldly to the throne of grace. This is not just me here, but this is a supernatural kind of something taking place here. Job, he used that access for his children. And now he had started praying, and now he had started interceding, and now he had started bringing them one by one before the Lord. And the Lord was the one who quickened him to do it, because the Lord knew this needs to be done. This is an urgent thing. Job, you don't know what's going to happen to your children shortly. You need to come and speak to me about your children. You need to speak to me about this situation. And Job, he prevailed with God. And then his children were safely under the token of the Lord, he took them home. And they were waiting for Job. He never lost any of his children. Now, so this kind of prayer is God-breathed prayer. It's like when the Lord breathes into your soul, that quickening power, his glory, his goodness. We were there last Saturday night, and there was the prayer line when we were in check. And that was such a powerful thing. We were standing at the front after the brother prayed. And it was like, I could also imagine if somebody took a photo that there was just the glory of God just at the front of the church. And every single person who came to the front just broke down in tears. Because you can't come into his presence and stay the same. And as soon as you come into his presence, you start believing for things you didn't believe for before. You start believing and you sense and all things are possible. And now you can start making your request because you're going to pray according to the will of God. Because he's quickening you to pray. And that's what you're wanting to do. We want divinely energized prayer. That's what fervent prayer is, divinely energized prayer. That means you're going to have your sins under the blood. That means you don't need anything between you and your Savior. So the beginning of your prayer might have to be at the brazen altar, like we say. You might have to go and make some things right and get a little bit washed up at the laver and get anointed, and then you come within the veil. And now you come into his presence. And that's the place that all things are possible. And how many prayers has the Lord answered for us in the last month? Friends, this has been a powerful month. Amen. This has been a powerful month. Go and have a look at the things the Lord has done. The prophet says if there's another branch, there's going to be another book of Acts. And we're seeing that and we're sensing the potential now that all things are possible. All things are possible to them that believe. But it's going to have to be spirit-quickened prayer. Prayer that we pray in his presence. And this kind of prayer, I put it down. This is the kind of prayer that you call it prayer that has broken through prayer. You know, it's that kind of prayer that you know when you pray it, it's finished. The prophet speaks about that young lady there that was in the whatever institution that it was. And they admitted her because she had all these psychological problems. They said she was going crazy. And they asked him to go and pray. And he went down into that place. And there was this nice, neatly dressed woman, young lady. He couldn't believe it. He was expecting some, you know, strange thing down in the asylum there. And he spoke to her. And that admitted her to that place. And he said, but surely you don't want to be in a place like this. And she said, no, I don't. He said, surely you want to go home, you know, because she'd been doing a lot of immoral things and the really demon-possessed. He said, surely you want to become, you know, a nice, lovely wife to a husband and have your young children. She says, that's what I want. But what am I supposed to do? So Brahma says, let's pray. Amen. And the first time she got on her prayers, there was no fervency in her prayer. There was just emotion. She just got emotional. She started to cry. And then she got up. She said, "Aunt, Brother Ram, I think I'll be okay." And Brother Ram says, no, get down on your knees again. And then she prayed a second time and she wept and all these kind of things. And then she got up and said, "I think I'll be okay." And Brother Ram says, no, sister, you just get down on your knees once again. And then Brother Ram says, the third time she started to pray, there was a difference. She now started to pray a fervent prayer. There was a divine something that took place inside of her prayer. And she knew when she prayed that prayer, something was different. And she got up that time and said, Brother Ram, something's different. And he said, you could see that it was different. And he says, you're going to be okay now, sister. Because when you pray that kind of prayer, it's prayer that goes through. You know, it's prayer like when Jesus went to Gethsemane, the first time that he prayed, it hadn't broken through. He was still troubled by that the burden that was upon him. He went back a second time and he prayed. He was still burdened by that. But the third time that he prayed, it says, being in an agony. He prayed and he cast that thing now upon his father. And then he got up. And you see, from there all the way to Calvary, he never struggles again. That's prayer that breaks through. And when you get off your knees, you know the job's been done. You know that this one has hit the target. This one has struck home beyond the veil. You know, God has quickened you to say the right thing. God has quickened you to pray the right kind of a way. And you know it inside of yourself. That was a different kind of prayer. We always say about Hannah, she prayed every year. But when she went and prayed that prayer that day, it was a different kind of prayer. It was a spirit-quickened prayer. She prayed according to the will of God. She never even intended that day to go and offer her son to the Lord. No, she was just feeling sorry for herself that she was barren all these years. But when she came into his presence, when she came to the place where he has chosen to place his name, the very presence of God was in his tabernacle. And she came as close as she could as a woman. She came to the door of the tabernacle. Something spoke to her from the supernatural place. And as she started to pray, she would have felt inside of herself, this is different this time. This is a different kind of prayer. And friends, when you pray that kind of prayer, you never want to go back to your old intellectual boo-hoo prayers again. Because this kind of prayer gets the job done. You don't have to pray for long. Because fervent prayer doesn't have to be long prayer. If you in the spirit, you can just pray like Nehemiah did, standing before the throne of the king. When the king said, what is it that you want? He said, I prayed unto the Lord. And it struck home because it's recorded in the Bible. Inside of his heart, he just spoke to the Lord, standing there between sentences. And his prayer struck home and God gave him divine favor. And when Hannah prayed that day, it brought the anointing down upon Eli. And Eli came and said, if you go and read what the Jews say about it, I think in the King James it says, may the Lord grant you. It doesn't say that. It actually says, God will give you your desire. The spirit of prophecy came upon the minister because of the prayer of Hannah. And he got it. At first he was rebuking her for being drunken. But when she prayed, brought the spirit down upon the ministry, and that brought the quickening power upon the minister. Friends, that's what we're looking for. Now, we wanted tonight to pray that kind of prayer that's going to bring God's glory into our prayer request. We want God's, when we're praying, that it's going to bring God's glory down. Brother Cheslin said, I didn't read Brother Chris and Cheslin, sorry, bro. But God bless you, Brother Cheslin. Brother Cheslin said he wants some time rest, but whenever he's rested up and he feels to do something for the Lord, we want to pray the Lord's glory to come down upon our brother again, to minister to our young people, to minister to the church. We want to pray the Lord's glory upon our song leaders. We want to pray for our Sunday service. We want to pray for our Sunday school. We want to pray for our Sunday school teachers and so forth. When we're in Czech Republic, Brother Wilmore had a group of young people, about 20, 24 of them, I think, the 8 to 12 year olds. So he asked them at the beginning how many of them were saved, and some of them were, but a lot of them weren't. Almost without exception, by the end of the camp, every one of those young people was saved. Every single one of the glory of God came down in his class upstairs at the same time it came down in the class downstairs. And God saved every one of those young people. Friends, God can do that upstairs here. God on Sunday can save every one of our children that's not yet saved. He's able to do it if he can do it there. What caused that to happen there? There was an atmosphere. There was an expectation. There was prayer. And then when Brother Josh there was preaching on Friday night and he just called, does anybody want prayer? The saints are there? No. It was just a glorious time. God's glory came down and people were, and then young people stayed for hours afterwards praying because they were in the presence of God. And people were sensing, this is my opportunity. Some of the young ones who came there worldly, when that presence came down, the prophecies, when you come into his presence, you realize you're a sinner. Like when Jesus came into his boat and all the fish were caught, and then in his presence, Peter fell at his feet and said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. And there was one big brother, was quite a worldly sort of a guy there. Some of our young people had told us, that guy, he doesn't speak the right kind of words. They didn't even want to hang around with that guy. And then some of our young people, like Daniel and them, they started to pray. They said, we're going to pray for that young man. And when they had the glory of God came down on Friday night, they prayed and prayed and prayed for some hours. What happened the next night? Brother Gregory right at the end says, let's just call. Does anybody want to come to the altar? That big guy came weeping to the altar. He came and he said, please pray for me. The world has such a pull on me. I don't want the things of the world. Friends, you can pray the glory of God down upon a person. You can pray conviction upon a person tonight, but it's not going to be just your prayer or mine. It's going to have to be fervent prayer. It's going to have to be the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. So we got to get our things right, put our things under the blood, make ourselves available to the Lord and say, Lord, there's so many needs. There's so many young people. There's so many people that have backslidden, whatever that's upon your heart. And you bring yourself into the presence of God and let his goodness come down and you start sensing yourself that all things are possible. You know that kind of prayer. That is, it's this kind of thing that you know that it wasn't just you prayer. That kind of prayer when you know that just wasn't me. I've never prayed like that before. And once you've tasted and seen that kind of prayer, you never want to go to any kind of prayer. That's the kind of prayer that you want to pray. Because there's something sweet and there's something blessed and there's something real about that kind of prayer. And when you pray that kind of prayer, like David said, he says, my soul knows very well. Inside of your soul, you know God has heard this prayer. Inside of your soul, whatever it is that you're praying about, you know that all is well. You've prevailed with God. You've brought the burden. You've cast your burden upon the Lord and you've left it there. And you go away no longer sad. And you go back and now you're just waiting for that to the manifestation. The prophet, just in finishing, he says, this is mountain moving prayer. Effectual prayer. He says, maybe when you pray that kind of prayer, Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, and you pray about that thing and you get in the presence of God and God quickens your prayer and you start speaking about that great mountain that has been before you, that great obstacle, that great challenge that's been such a challenge to you. When you pray that kind of prayer, just in simplicity, and you speak to that mountain, the prophet says, maybe just one little grain of sand starts to move. But this kind of prayer always gets the results. It always gets things moving. It always starts the process. You can never pray this kind of prayer and things stay the same. You'll pray against that mountain. You may not see much happening. But once you've prayed that kind of prayer, God is on the move. Amen. Now one grain starts falling. And then after a little stone starts falling. Then boulders start falling. And you go back after whatever time God has ordained. And you find the mountain's not there anymore. It's that kind of prayer that you're wanting to pray. Because fervent prayer is prayer that produces results. Oh, friends, I love that. I can't remember who said it, but they said, you might ask me, has God answered all your prayers? He said, no. Not that I know of. But one thing is answered more than enough to keep me praying. And that's the same as you and I. For every single genuine believer, you know that God hears and answers prayer. He may not have answered every prayer the way you wanted him to answer, but he hears every prayer. He answers in his own way. And there's certain times he answers very directly. When that George Muller, when he started the great apostle of faith at all the orphanages, he started to record all of the requests that he made in his prayer journal and the date when they were answered. He put in his lifetime, he had an answer. He said he had 50,000 prayers recorded that were answered, including 5,000 answered the same day. 5,000. He knew. God sometimes takes longer than a day. But he said, and that was the very reason that he did what he did. Starting his orphanages, not asking anybody any money, because he wanted to show people God's faithfulness to answer prayer. And there they are, and the newspaper reporters, they're coming to see how they're running the orphanage. And in comes the cook and says, Mr. Muller, there's a big problem. We don't have any food to give to the orphans tomorrow at breakfast time. We don't have any bread and we don't have any milk. He says, well, it must be God's turn to answer. Let's pray. And they go to bed. Next morning, they're all panicking down there into the kitchen staff. There's no food. He says, okay, get the orphans. Tell them to go and sit down. Put their plates out. Put their spoons out. God is faithful. The newspaper reporters were there. They all go and sit the children. He says, say grace. As soon as they finish grace, the knock on the door. He goes to the door and it's the baker. And the baker says, Mr. Muller, I don't know what's going on. He says, the whole night, God woke me up in the middle of the night last night, and I couldn't stop thinking about your orphans. And something was telling me I needed to make some food for your orphans. I went and woke up all my staff in the night, and we've baked you this bread. So they put all the bread on the table. Next thing, the knock comes on the door. They go to the door. It's the milkman. Just outside of the orphanage, the wheel of the wagons hit into a ditch like just outside here. You know, these big chasms we have out here. And it's broken his wheel. And he comes and says, Mr. Muller, my wagon's broken, loaded with milk. I don't want to throw all this milk away. Do you think your orphans could use the milk? He says, bring the milk in and they have breakfast. Friend, that's prayer. Amen. That is real, real prayer. Amen. And once you start seeing how faithful God is to answer those kind of prayers, that you yield yourself unto fervency in prayer, sincere prayer. What a wonderful thing that it is. Now, you and I may not need food on the table tonight. You and I may not need milk for tomorrow morning, but every single one of us has needs. Some of us have spiritual needs. Some of us have unsaved loved ones. We have unsaved relatives, unsaved children. We have needs that are before us, whatever. And the Lord is the one who knows what we need to pray about. So let's get ourselves ready tonight to draw nigh unto the throne of grace, like Paul said. He says, let us have boldness to come unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain grace to help in time of need. And whatever need, our sister Bibi, out she comes tomorrow. We're glad to hear she's coming out. And God is going to bless her in her health. That's what you're going to pray for. Whatever else that it is, our church, the contract is delayed once again. Let's just put it before the Lord. Yeah, because we've been given up to October the 14th. We've got to be out of this place now. You know, so that's our deadline. And the contractor, we're going to ask the Lord that there's not going to be a delay. That by the time we leave this place, we don't have anything we have to panic about. We say, Lord, all is well in your kingdom. All is under control with you. You are the one that can work out the logistics so that just as we move, as that place opens up, we move our things from here to there. So let's put that before the Lord. We have our weddings. No, we want the Lord to be the oil in the machine. We want him to be the one who sees the things which we cannot see. We want him to be Jehovah Jireh, providing the needs that we can't provide. We want him to be glorified in all of these things. And the best way we can do it is we approach him fervently in prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And whatever else the Lord has laid upon your heart, whether it be far off or near, whether it be big or small, there's no need too small for the Lord. Now, whether you are a young child, whether you elderly, whoever that you are, God is interested in hearing your prayers. You can pray a fervent prayer tonight, and you can make Jesus stand still. Maybe his presence was going by, and you pray, and he draws near to you. And just like Bartimaeus, when you pray, he stands still, and he'll call you and say, come, okay, what is it that you want in the supernatural realm? And the simplicity of that faith, which is expressed in the fervency of your prayer, will bring about the change. And we will leave this prayer meeting tonight, and there'll be no anxiety for anything. There'll be no worrying about the future. There'll be no concerns about everything, because we've prayed breakthrough prayer. We prayed that kind of prayer, we would just leave it in His hands. And friends, anything short of that, surely we shouldn't accept it. Do you want to go from this place still with your burdens upon you? Do you want to go with confusion in your mind? Do you want to go with temptation hindering you? The Bible says if any is afflicted, let him pray. Amen. Let him pray. That's what the Bible says. That is where the answer is. We take out the weapon of prayer, the greatest weapon put in the hands of man. And we come before the Lord tonight when he put these requests. So let's pray for Brother Edusei Apawo from Galway. He's thankful to the Lord. He's been granted a job interview, asking the saints to remember him and pray for the interview to come on successful. May the Lord bless him in his interview. I think Sister Susan, I saw, I didn't read the message yet on my phone. I think Sister Susan was asking for prayer as well, if you can remember her. The Zuma family, thanking the Lord for Matthew's first Irish passport. We thank the Lord for that. And then Sister Lydia, Jonathan, and Matthew traveling to Slovakia Sunday morning. Brother George is away. Brother Ngoni is going this week. I think so many people traveling. Let's put each and every one before the Lord. So let's ask the musicians to come, Brad, to lead us in one song. And let's come before the Lord. Let's speak to the rock. And it'll bring forth its waters. Let's yield ourselves to him as we come in prayer tonight. Let's all stand, saints. Let's sing one song. And then we'll put ourselves before the Lord in prayer. Let's just sing that chorus. Faith in the Father, faith in the Son, faith in the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Demons will tremble. Sinners awake. Faith in Jehovah. Can anything shake?
Faith in the Father and faith in the Son. Sinners.
Yes, I sing that song, You Deserve the Glory. The Lord deserves the glory, saints. And we cannot glorify him when we're in the flesh. Because Paul said, in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. We've got to yield ourselves to him, and we've got to be inspired by him. Then we can glorify him, and he deserves the glory. Let's sing this song, then we'll ask Brother Wilmore to come to close. Let's remember Sister Bibi. Let's remember Brother Ellie and the family. Saints know that she's in the hospital. We'll ask Brother Ellie to give an account, maybe on Sunday, whenever he's able, of just how powerful it has been, what the Lord has done for our sister. The doctors actually said Sister Bibi, long time, shouldn't have been with us because of what she's got. The doctors couldn't understand how she's still alive. It's very powerful, the testimony. You know, so the Lord, he really has been mindful. There's times we don't know what the Lord is doing, but he's doing mighty things for us when we don't know. And sometimes the Lord can allow you to get a sickness so that the doctors find out the real sickness. Now you'll wonder, why did I get this? And it'll be the Lord saying, hey, I'm going to put you there in the hospital so that you can really find out the big problem that's going on. So I think the sister, I heard she's coming out tomorrow. So we thank the Lord for that. But let's keep the family in prayer. These are not easy times. We know what it's like. A lot of stress, a lot of pressure on Brother Ellie, on the children. So we want to lift them up in prayer. Sister Susan, let's pray for her as well, having traveled. Brother David with the COVID. And Sister Shida, I think she got the COVID now. So there's COVID in their house. Sickness is nothing. But the Lord said to us we should pray that no evil. He said, deliver us from evil. That's what we want. We don't want Satan to get any opportunity in these things. You know, we don't mind trials. We don't mind afflictions. They just bring us closer to the Lord. We just want to pray, Lord, deliver us from evil. And that's what we pray for our brother. Anything else, brother? This brother, Edusei, with his job interview, we pray the Lord's blessing. And Sister Lydia traveling as well. Let's pray for them as well. So we sing the song and we give it to Brother Wilmore.
You deserve glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. Father, this song means so much to us, Father, especially when we look, Lord, and see what you've been doing for us, Father. Lord, we are so undeserving, Father, oh God, but yet, Lord, your grace and your mercies are so much upon us, Lord. And Father, tonight we want to come and to give you all glory and honor. To thank you, Father, for the wonderful things that you continue to do in our lives, in our congregation. Lord, oh God, if it were to be written, the things you have done in these last 4 or 5 weeks, Lord, oh God, it could produce another book of Acts. Amen. Father, for you are the same God. Oh God, when Peter was in the prison, Lord, and the saints made prayer, the angel came down and opened the prison doors. And we have seen the same thing happening here, Father. For indeed the enemy had desired to do evil upon our sister. Lord and Father, she was shut in there, Lord, in a place that was difficult. But Lord, somehow, Lord, Father, you came down and you opened the door for her, Lord, that she could go back to be with her family once again. Father, we want to thank you for our sister Bibish as we commit her into your hands. Father, as she would go home tomorrow to be with her family. Oh God, we pray that you fortify her be under thy word, Lord, that the enemy will have no more chance, but that, Lord, this which he had desired to do against our sister be an opportunity, Lord, that the doctors may find what is wrong, and that, Father, it will also leave a testimony in the hospital that indeed there is a living God, for there is no way she could be alive today if it wasn't for your grace, Lord. We love you so much, Lord. We thank you for what you have done for our sister. We thank you, Lord, even for our little brother Matthew, and his passport has come. Lord, everything you do right in its time. We thank you, Father, that you have sent this passport and our sister can be with her family, Lord, back home in Slovakia. We commit them into your hands on their journey, Lord, as they go. May you go with them, Father. Not only them, but our brother Ngoni also, Lord, and our sister Sarah, that you go with them on their journey. Father, we travel so much to different places, but your grace always, Lord, leads us in the way, and it brings us back here once again. So we want to ask, Lord, that you be with these, our brothers and sisters, even our sister Susan, our brother George and family, as they have all traveled, that, Father, you be with them where they go, that, Father, they would bring good tidings, and that, Lord, you bring them back here safely. Lord, we thank you that you have brought even our brother Cheslin to be in our midst even at this time. Lord, you always appoint things right, and we know you have sent him here for a reason, Lord, that, Father, even the fruits of his labor from last year, he may continue to water, Lord, this year, that, Father, the fruit may be plentiful. Lord, we pray you give our brother strength while he sojourns in our midst, Lord. May you use him, Lord, Father, to further establish, Lord, these your children that you have called. Father, bless him and bless them. We thank you, Father, that you brought us back safely from Czech Republic. Even the work that was done there, you were in it, Lord. Father, oh God, we thank you that, Father, you done your work. And there is many, Lord, that moved from darkness into light. We pray for them tonight that you be with them where they are, each and every one of them, that they will continue to walk in the way, that, Father, if there should be a next year and you allow us to be there again, Father, we may see them growing more and more, Lord. And we want to commit these, our children, that we are here with, Lord, that were with us in Czech Republic. And, Father, we were witnesses of the work that you did in their lives. Father, we pray for them that now, as the hard work begins to walk in this Christian walk, that you may continue to walk with them, to bless them, Lord, to show them the way, and, Father, that they may be ambassadors, Lord, wherever they go, of this glorious kingdom. We commit them to you, Father, and we thank you tonight for our pastor. He must be tired, Lord, but, Lord, once more, Lord, you have come through, and you have spoken your word unto us, Lord. So we thank you for him. May you bless the word that was spoken, and it spoke to us, Lord, of the righteous, of a righteous man's prayer, Lord, a fervent prayer. Lord, we want to be in that place tonight. We want to stand in that place of a righteous man, not our own righteousness, but that of Jesus Christ, Lord. So we pray you forgive our sins, and that, Lord, you forgive our trespasses and our transgressions, Lord, and clothe us with the righteousness of God. That, Father, as we pray and bring the petitions that we have before you, Lord, that, Father, you may answer them. We pray for our Sunday service, that you bless the ministers, Lord, in the word, in the music ministry, in the testimonies, everything that will be done, let it bring your glory down, Father, for the glory of your kingdom. Father, we want to bring, Lord, before you, Lord, Father, even our journeys as we go home tonight, that you bring us all home safely. Please be merciful to the many that are not here, that could have been here, Lord. We commit them into your hands. And our brethren that are sick tonight, our brother David, Lord, our sister Shida, Lord, we bring them before you, Lord, that you may touch them and drive away the sickness from their house, Lord. Even my wife, Lord, not feeling so well, I commit her into your hands, that you may touch her, Lord, that your people may be revived tonight by the time they go to sleep, Lord. Let there be a difference. Father, we commit now ourselves to you. Please be with us, Father. Grant us grace this weekend. Lord, we are under so much expectation that you will continue to speak with us as we will gather on Sunday. And Father, the time has been appointed, Lord, where we will leave this place, Father. So we want to commit this building project into your hands, Lord. Father, we are beginning to count down the Sundays, Lord, that are left for us to gather in this place. So we want to pray and commit, Lord, the contractor into your hands. Lord, may he become an instrument fully surrendered in your hands, that you may use him, Lord, Father, to bring this project to fruition, Lord, Father, for the glory of your name. Grant us this grace is our prayer. All other requests, Lord, in the hearts of your people, Father, we commit them into your hands. May you touch, Lord, and give to them, each and every one of them, the desires of their hearts, Lord. Grant us this grace as we commit this night, Lord, and all the requests into your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Willie. God bless you, brother. Amen. God bless saints. Just to say for Sunday, if there's anybody who is away with us who wants to give testimony on Sunday, any of the young ones, even Brother Will, we'll ask him, spend some time on Sunday to come and give a report back as well on what was done there, and we'll give a report back as well. And anybody else, I know there's a good testimony from Sister Aggie, which was a really good one. If she doesn't tell it, I'll tell it on Sunday. But the Lord was good, and the Lord is good. And that was a powerful time. You know, the Lord does exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask and think. And he's so faithful. When the saints gather together to pray like we did before we went, and we fast and you pray, the Lord says, if you will, my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I'll hear from heaven. And he never fails. And we just under full expectation he's going to bless us on Sunday once again, like Brother Wilmer said, in his presence. So any of the young ones who would like to testify, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, the Bible says. You know, we give time for that. Just let us know before Sunday. Let Brother Wilmore know, or the deacons or myself, if you wanted to give a testimony, wanted just to say something that the Lord did for you. Because it's a good thing to do it while the testimony is fresh. You know, it's a really, really good thing to return back to the Lord. And like the 10th leper, the Samaritan leper returned back. And it says when he returned back and gave thanks to the Lord, he was made every whit whole. You know, so he wasn't just healed, but the Lord did even more for him. So let's give glory to the Lord on Sunday, saints. Safe journey home. Keep us in prayer. And may the Lord bless you this evening. Let's dismiss with whatever you have for us, Brother Jess.
In your presence, that's where I am strong. In your presence. That's where I belong. touching your grace. In the cleft of the rock, nowhere but in your presence.
In your presence, O
God,
I want to hide where the flood of evil cannot reach me. Where I'm covered by the blood.
I want to be
where the schemes of darkness cannot touch me. In your presence, O God.
In your presence.
In your presence. That's where I am strong. In your presence, O Lord my God, in your presence, that's where I belong, seeking your face,
touching your grace,
touching your grace, in the cleft of the rock. In your presence, that's where I am strong. In your presence, O Lord my God. In your presence, that's where I belong. Seeking your face.
Touching your grace.
Touching your grace.